This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hey, great to be with you.
And Bridget, it is just around the corner now. We've been talking about it for a little while, but the Catholic Radio Annual Dinner is coming up on October 2nd, so less than 1 month from right now. Maybe, just maybe, you got an invitation in the mail, probably hit your mailbox last week. If you did, hey, get right on it and get that invitation back to us, so or your RSVP back to us so we can reserve a seat for you. If you didn't get one, that's only because you're not in our database, but we want you to be there too, so you can sign up real easily just by visiting our website, catholicradioindy.org. Again, catholicradioindy.org. It is October 2nd. Archbishop Charles Thompson is going to be our speaker, so it's bound to be an interesting evening. We'll have a live auction. We'll have some live music. We'll have a silent auction, some great food, and a great message from the Archbishop as well. So we can hope you can make it. Again, the website, catholicradioindy.org.
And today we're going to be talking with John and Sandy O'Shaughnessy of Good Morning Ministry. So welcome to Faith in Action.
Thanks for having us.
Good morning.
Yes, and pun intended there almost, you know.
Yeah, get that a lot.
Yeah, I bet you do. Like, good morning, America. Good morning, ministry, right? So, you know, talk about how, what it is, what is good morning ministry? We're talking about grief and how you came up with that title and what the ministry is.
Well, we spend most of our time talking about mourning, actually. But to back that up, what we are, it's Good Morning Ministry is basically Sandy, myself, and the Holy Spirit. And we are a bereavement resource to Catholic parishes and other organizations, but mostly Catholic parishes throughout the country. And what we have found is that most Catholic parishes don't have the resources to offer a robust grief program.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we have come in to help them.
And okay. Obviously, go ahead, Jim.
And for our listeners who can't see the name printed out, we're not saying good morning as in hello, how you doing? We're saying good morning as in grieving after a death of a loved one.
Right. Add a U.
There
you
go.
You have the same. Yeah.
That's right.
And you know, this is something, I mean, the two certain things in life are basically death and taxes. So, you know, this is something that everyone at some point is going to address or deal with, you know, whether it's a spouse or a parent or a child or whatever. How did you two get involved in this ministry, and how long have you been doing it?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we're both previously widowed. Our first spouses died. For me, it will be 20 years in November, and I'll let Sandy speak to David, but Ann died when my boys were 10 and 12 years old. I was 41 at the time, so I was young and widowed, and I was in the corporate world for 30 years, and I decided to write a book, The Greatest Gift. It was a memoir about our journey, and that led me into a nonprofit organization here locally in Michigan, where I worked there and sat on the board of directors. And the intention was I was going to start running that when the director retired. In the meantime, December 1st, 2010, I remember it well, Father John Ricardo here had an evening called Grieve with Hope.
Mm-hmm.
And there was adoration during that evening, and I literally heard the words Catholic bereavement something.
Mm-hmm.
And it was divinely sent. And I asked Sandy when she was leaving, when we were leaving, I said, did you hear anything in there? And she said, no, but I guess you did. And that that really began the ministry, I would say. I went and spoke with Father John. He said, there's nothing available from a Catholic perspective on grief or mourning. and I'd be very interested to see what you come up with. Well, we developed it, we incorporated in 2011. We've now done over 50 workshops throughout the country, created a DVD, and have helped thousands of people. And we're humbled to say that we've helped over 2,000 people. So
that's a lot of people.
That's how I got started. And we met, obviously, along the way, and we got married as well. But I'll let Sandy chime in here.
Well, you mentioned, I'll just pop in here, just since you mentioned the workshop, one of the reasons we are having you talk about this is that there is a local workshop coming up September 28th and 29th in Indianapolis, well, actually Westfield at St. Maria Goretti Parish, and it's called Grieving with Great Hope. So just wanted to get that out there, too, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But, Sandy, how did you get involved exactly with this? Do you have a perspective of how God kind of reined you in? You know how that is.
That is what he does. So, you know, looking back in my life, you know, my late husband died in 2000, and I also lost my mother during that time as well.
Oh.
And in the middle of that time, looking back now, I can see that God was very much at work, you know. I think it's hard for us in the middle of grief, in the middle of loss, in the middle of struggles to kind of see him, you know. We kind of wonder, where the heck are you?
Yeah.
But anyway, he has a divine plan, and he is, you know, at work in the middle of our misery. He truly is. And so, as I went on in my life after my loss, I did get involved with an organization that reached out into the community to help grieving people. You know, that's what happens sometimes, is that God uses your challenges to help you down the road minister to others, kind of like Romans 8:28, you know, all things come to his goodness and glory. And so as time went on, I knew I wanted to give back and just help others through those grief waters that I had been through.
And I think,
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think it makes a difference when you're running a ministry that you actually have had personal experience with, especially with something along these lines. You know, it just puts a completely different perspective on it if you've really been there.
It does, because, you know, in my own life, boy, when I talked to people that had been down that road,
mm-hmm.
and when I talked about my story and talked about my challenges, they shook their head because they got it,
mm-hmm.
because they'd been there. And so I think John and I, not only with our education in the bereavement field, but also in our experience, we kind of we've got that side of it. We've got the education piece and the training piece, but then we've also got, you know, we've been there, you know, we've done that. We've been down that road. So, I think, you know, our ministry truly is, it's a fruit now of our vocation. It's a fruit of our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's definitely played a role, in deepening our own lives and, deepening the faith in our own lives. So it's been really powerful being obedient to the Holy Spirit and his will that he placed, you know, on John's heart specifically in adoration, and then on my heart as well. So it's like a puzzle piece all coming together. So it's humbling. It's very humbling.
Is there a, you know, a time frame in which someone should seek out help? Because I know a lot of people, right after a loved one dies, you know, they don't really want to do anything. They don't want to talk to anybody, and it's really difficult. So is there, you know, is there like a certain time frame where you would recommend people to seek help or to attend some kind of a workshop?
No.
I had a feeling that was the answer.
Because it's such an individual experience. Grief is so individual. So, for example, if someone was ill for quite some time before they died, they might be ready to go to a workshop
mm-hmm.
A month away from that, or 2 months away from that, versus a sudden loss, yeah, then maybe they're not quite ready. It might take some more time. So it's up to, it's a very individual thing as to when they decide they want to attend. And quite frankly, a lot of people will come to the workshop and they'll say they debated whether they wanted to come. And they may have sat out in the parking lot and debated right up until that last minute. The vast majority of them say they're so glad they did. They made the step to come in. And it takes courage to come to this workshop. But I think there's fruit at the end when they do come.
You mentioned a DVD that you have. Is that something that someone who can't make it to one of your seminars would find helpful?
Not really, Jim. That's for a church to use. It's really part of the workshop we do, only compressed into a DVD.
Oh, okay.
So it's really not for individual use. I mean, somebody could do that, but it's really designed to be a group workshop. That's really what it's designed to do. Okay.
We were talking about time there, and is there a time when someone should seek maybe professional help from a counselor, a psychiatrist, something like that, when something just goes on too long? Is there such a thing?
Yeah, there is. It's called complicated grief, and that's when there doesn't seem to be any let-up in the grief over a course of time. Maybe it's 6 months to a year, and we definitely recommend people. That's about 10 to 15% of the population, generally speaking, that for various reasons are not able to process everything that's gone on and resume living. And so they get kind of stuck in their grief. And this workshop doesn't address that. So it's more for uncomplicated grief or healthy grief.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back and we'll talk some more about the workshop and some of the resources you offer. Stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
It's not too early to sign up for our Catholic Radio annual dinner. This year's dinner will be on Tuesday, October 2nd at the Northside Knights of Columbus Hall near 71st and Keystone. Archbishop Charles C. Thompson will be our guest speaker. There'll be a silent auction, a live auction, some great food, and a chance to meet the staff and board members of Catholic Radio Indy. It'll be a great evening. Tickets are $65 per person or $450 for a table of eight. You can register online now at CatholicRadioIndy.org. There's no charge for priests or vowed religious to attend. We'd love to have a table from every parish in the area. So go ahead, ask some friends, family members, or fellow parishioners. It's a great way to introduce them to Catholic Radio Indy. You can sign up right now at CatholicRadioIndy.org or simply by calling us at 317-870-8400. That's 317-870-8400.
You hear a lot of great programs here on Catholic Radio. What makes them all possible is regular monthly donations from people like you. This is a listener-supported ministry. We cannot stay on the air without regular monthly donations. If you're already making a donation, thank you. If you haven't joined our family of supporters yet, please call us at 317-870-8400, 317-870-8400, or visit CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer, and we're talking with our guests Sandy and John O'Shaughnessy of Good Morning Ministry. And I know that there's a common misconception about stages of grief that you wanted to talk about. Are there stages of grief or not so much?
No, there really isn't, but it's woven into our culture, and people have been led to believe for decades now that we grieve in stages. And we don't grieve in stages. Anger is not a stage of grief. It's an emotion. It's a very common emotion that some people go through, not everyone goes through. So, yeah, we like to debunk this idea that we grieve in stages. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross posited the stage theory of grief, but she was studying people who are dying, not people who are grieving. And it really hasn't been repositioned over the years, and we're trying our best to do that, because if you think you grieve in stages, then you you don't get angry, you think you're doing something wrong. And you're
gotcha.
Not doing anything wrong. Grief is as unique as your fingerprint. It has to be that way because you're unique, God created us all unique, and the reason you're grieving is unique, who this person was and so forth. And to suggest that we grieve in a linear progression takes away the uniqueness of that grief. So we debunk that the opening night, and we'll do that at St. Maria Goretti. I will mention that we don't grieve in stages, and we'll take people through what grief is and, more importantly, what mourning is.
So why don't you talk about that right now? What is grief and mourning? So, you know, just for people that don't know exactly how you're defining it.
Yeah, I think most people understand a little bit about what grief is. But grief is a reaction to loss, any type of loss. If you lose your job, if you lose your health, if you lose a friendship, you grieve. It's a natural thing to grieve. There's nothing bad about it at all. It's simply a reaction to loss. We don't deal with grief from the standpoint of loss of job or loss of a friendship. We deal with grief from the standpoint of the death of a loved one. And that's where mourning comes in. You only mourn the death of someone. And mourning is our intentional response. It's what we do with this pain that we feel. So we take people through a lot about mourning. We've developed something we call the seven intentions of mourning. And we take people through each of those intentions. So they're an intentional thing that we can do to help us heal our wounds.
And you mentioned that...
You know, we also talk about, too, that, you know, you don't get over it, right?
Right.
You just don't get over it. You don't recover. That suggests you go back from whence you came. Mm-hmm. And so mourning, it's not a bad thing. We mourn the rest of our lives, but that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. That's a healthy thing. That means we are choosing to live the rest of our life by choosing to do many things that are going to continue to help us heal and build our bridge to a new and different life.
So what are some of those things that people can do when they experience the loss of a loved one? What would be the steps in terms of, with regard to your ministry?
Yeah, we don't want to say steps. The seven intentions are conscious choices that someone can make. They spell out prayers. We don't have time to go through all of them, but
sure,
they spell out prayers. So the first one is to pray. A third of this workshop is spent either in prayer or in church, in some form or another in prayer. We spend time in Eucharistic adoration. So that's the first thing that we suggest everyone do, is take everything to prayer. But then we talk about remembering and honoring our loved ones. I mean, this ministry, we honor Ann and David. I mean, it's really why we're doing it, is to honor Ann and David. So remember and honor, accept. Acceptance is a big part of it. So our culture today wants to deny things, deny mm-hmm. the pain, because who wants to go through suffering? But you need to accept it. You need to accept what has happened. Yield to the emotions. So there are many emotions of grief. It's not one emotion. It comprises many different emotions, and not everyone goes through all of them, but most of us go through a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And one that we're really excited about is this concept of having an enduring connection. And we as Catholics know that because we pray for our beloved to get them out of purgatory and up into heaven, where they can do so much more for us there. And we think we're now talking about redemptive suffering and repositioning it as redemptive mourning.
Mm.
So helping others while we grieve. So we're not suggesting that people just skip over the grieving process and not feel anything. But at some point, you come to a fork in the road, I truly believe, where you want to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that through helping others.
Now, you're talking...
So we'll talk at length about that.
Now, you're talking about a presentation or a seminar. How long an event is this, and what's involved with the event itself?
Yeah, so Friday night is 2 hours in church, and we touch upon some of these things, but the workshop is prayerful, practical, and personal. Well, so in the practical part, it's 10 to 4 on Saturday, and that's when we break open the workbooks and get into some of these things that I'm now touching upon. And in the practical application, too, there's also small grief peer groups, where in these groups, people are able to talk to each other about their stories.
if they are at that place.
They want
too.
To. Most people do. Some people choose not to, but most people can't wait to share their stories with someone else who understands a little bit about what's going on.
Is there, you mentioned a book. So if people, you know, we hope people can come out to the workshop at St. Maria Goretti on September 28th and the 29th. But if they can't, they could start with a book that you offer on your webpage. What is the book name again?
It's called Grieving with Great Hope. That's the workbook. And we also have written a journal. And everything is available on goodmorningministry.net. We should mention that, too. Goodmorningministry.net is the website. And there are resources there that they could purchase, yeah.
Yeah, because some don't have access to a workshop. It's nowhere near them. They may live, you know, far away. Some people that come to our workshop buy additional books for their family members who may not be able to come to a workshop, just so they can have a common language and read through the workbook or the journal together. So our website has, you know, some resources for those who can't make it to a workshop, and maybe that may not be for them either.
Mm-hmm.
And we're excited, too, that we were just finishing a book called The Seven Intentions of Mourning, and that will be published later this year by Lexio Publishing in Florida. And the manuscript's been submitted, and that's an in-depth look at each of these intentions.
So you mentioned that what you do with the workshop is just part of the puzzle. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, Sandy?
Well, people that come to our workshop, we share with them that this is a vital time in your life to care for yourself and to leave no stone unturned in your care. This is one of the hardest things we have to go through in life, is losing the loss of someone or many someones that we love. And so maybe our workshop is a part of that puzzle. Maybe seeking one-on-one counseling is a part of that puzzle. Maybe just sitting and reading and taking up some of those resources that are out there, that's a part of the puzzle. Maybe you've got two friends. You know, there's a saying, some people come into our lives for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And so maybe there are people that are in our lives for this reason and season of loss and mourning. And so sit with them, talk with them, have coffee with them. So that's what we say, leave no stone unturned in your care. Maybe it's go to the doctor, get yourself checked out. So put all of those pieces together in your pathway to healing.
Right, we cover with Catholic Radio here in Central Indiana, cover quite a bit of geography, and the workshop that you have here is kind of on the north side of our coverage area. People listening in other areas would like to bring the workshop to their parish. How would they go about doing that?
Yeah, the first thing would be to go to our website again at goodmorningministry.net and contact us. We'd be happy to have a dialogue with them. And what churches are finding out is they can purchase the DVD and they can run the workshop themselves, or they can bring us in. We have workshops in Ohio coming up. We have workshops in Pennsylvania coming up. So we do travel. We only do about eight or nine workshops, Sandy and I, eight or nine workshops a year.
Mm-hmm.
But the DVD is probably doing 25 or 30 is what we would estimate.
I'm wondering, what kind of an impact has this had on people that you're serving? You said that, you know, you've maybe, you know, touched 2,000 people's lives with a direct, a direct involvement with them in helping them heal. What kind of a response are you getting from those that maybe that have been through this and that you've talked to? How has it helped them?
So a pastor that we had our ministry at in Ohio, just after our workshop ended, we were talking with him, and he said, you know, this is a healing ministry. And this is a few years ago. And so if people don't necessarily, they're not magically healed right at the end of coming to our workshop, but healing begins. And time and time again in our evaluations at the end of every workshop, we ask those participants to evaluate us. And time and time again, they say that it has changed their life, that it has opened their eyes to things that they can do.
They're glad they came.
They're glad that they came. I remember this quote from one woman. We have a closing night, and a closing night, there's adoration, there's blessings. We are together in church. There's the music. John and I share our stories, too, so people know from whence we come, right? Mm-hmm. And but one woman said that it blew it all out for me. So we see changed lives. There's a story of an angry man that came to our workshop, and he was so angry. We just saw him pacing. And by the end of the workshop, his whole countenance had changed. And we like to believe that if you help one person, then and they begin to heal, right? Mm-hmm. Then they, in turn, can probably help others heal. So if we've helped one, we like to think we've helped one or two other people in their midst as well.
One of my favorite quotes is from a woman about 3 years ago now, and the quote was, "I came in alone and I left with new friends."
Wow.
And that happens.
That's great.
That happens quite frequently at these workshops where strangers become friends.
Well, we're just about out of time, so I want to go ahead and give the Grieving with Great Hope is the workshop that's coming up Friday, September 28th and Saturday, September 29th at St. Maria Goretti in Westfield. And my guests today have been John and Sandy O'Shaughnessy of Good Morning Ministry. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Well, thank you for having
us. Thank you, Bridget. Thank you, Jim.
You bet. God bless. And if you want more information on how to register for this particular workshop, you can go to our webpage at catholicradioindy.org.
And look under podcasts and you'll find a little synopsis of the program, as well as a link to get to the actual registration page so that you can sign up for the workshop.
And for John and Sandy's ministry, it's www.goodmorningministry.net. God bless you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
God bless you too.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at catholicradioindy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400. Or email Jim at catholicradioindy.org.